I want to talk to you today on the topic of giving, and I'd like to talk to you from the perspective of the gift of giving, because I want to see, according to what we read in the scriptures, the idea of being able to give as a gift itself. In other words, there is nothing inherent in our sinful nature that wants to give anything. We are basically looking to receive as much as we possibly can. And then the Holy Spirit comes into our life through the gift of Jesus Christ. And as a result of the gift of Jesus and the gift of the Spirit, and the gift of God's great commission on our lives, we begin to give. We begin to give financially. We begin to give our time. We begin to give our prayers. There's something that changes in us, something that makes us want to share, something that makes us want to help. And I believe that something is one of God's greatest gifts to us. That something is God sharing with us his character and causing his ways, his character, to flow through us to such a degree that we begin to act like God. We begin to live like God. We begin to think with the mind of Christ, and we begin to go back to what God's original plan was when he said, let us create humankind after our image and like us. And so before you know it, the gift of giving begins to define you in the same way it defines our Father. And again, our Father is the one who gave us his Son and who gave us his Spirit and who gave us his name, gave us his signet ring, gave us his covenant and his covenant promises and his covenant faithfulness, and gave us a purpose, gave us a job, gave us a responsibility, gave us a commission, gave us compassion, gave us a sense that we can make a difference. And one of the greatest gifts that you and I can have in this generation is to recognize, as we see everything that's going on around us, that we can actually do something about it. When we see hungry children, we can be reminded that we can do something about it. We can make a difference. We can help somebody. And there's something that rises up within us, something that wasn't there before we became Christians. It might have been a sort of a nagging feeling when we would see somebody hurting or somebody hungry, but there was never this sense, excuse me, that this is my call, this is my responsibility, that God is choosing to glorify himself through me. There was never that sense. It was always, well, if I'm watching a television show, for instance, and all of a sudden there is this infomercial about people, thank you, who are hungry, something would nag at me, right? Even when you were younger and there would be these commercials on all the time. But there was never that sense of maybe I can go. Or maybe I can get together with a few of my friends and we can make this something that we devote our lives to. But now that we're Christians, it's different. Now that we're Christians, we always know that there is something that we can do. And the reason is because God has given us the gift of giving. For instance, God has given us the gift of his own loving heart. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, And among all of God's gifts, among the greatest of his gifts, is the gift of the capacity to know his love and to express that love. When God asks me to share his burden, I can't think besides the gift of Christ and the gift of life through Christ, I can't think of a greater gift. When God says to me, I trust you, not just to laugh with me and to rejoice with me, but I trust you to weep with me. And I trust you to share my burden. I trust you to share my concerns. When he says, I trust you with my love, not just for you to receive my love, but for you to share my love, for you to be a conduit of my love, a vessel of my love. I trust you to love this person. And you understand that God knows the difficulties of our day. And he knows the things that we've experienced and the things that we do experience. He knows how hard it is to love and to love unconditionally, to love unselfishly. He knows that. And so he gives us the grace. It's his love that he gives us. And the love that he gives us requires that we show love. And we do it in the ways that the Bible tells us that we can, and the ways that the Bible tells us that we should. So as one of the apostles said, we don't simply say to a person who's hungry and who's cold, you know, go and be blessed. We do what we can to feed them. We do what we can to clothe them. Remember, Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. He didn't say I was hungry and you prayed for me. He said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Amen. And we have been given the heart of God to make a difference in this generation. It is a gift to be able to give. And when you and I find it difficult to give, it's usually because the gift that God is trying to give us, we have some difficulty receiving. Sometimes we just don't believe that we can make a difference. Or like I said, we see a lot of difficulty in life, see a lot of controversy in life, and sometimes we don't trust at the rate that we ought to. But we'll talk about that. But for the moment, let's just remind ourselves that there is a deposit of love in us, a deposit that unless you and I begin to express it, we don't even know the depths of that deposit. We don't even know to what degree God has actually invested in us. I found that the more you give, the more you reach out, the more you try to make a difference, the more you try and share, the more you realize that you have. And so sometimes we don't give because we're not quite sure what we have to give. But again, right now we just focus on the fact that God has made an investment in us. There is a love that will not be denied, where we say, I have to do something because God's love compels me. And then again, God gives us his giving heart. He gives us his loving heart, and he gives us his giving heart. And giving comes as a result of receiving. We give with grateful hearts from God's supply. I know there are a few people who have been preaching for the most part that when you give, then you receive. There is something to be said about that. There is something to be said about sowing and reaping. But that's different than some of the things that are being said out there where, you know, if you send this person a few $100, you know what I mean, they're going to make your life perfect. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to make your life perfect somewhere or another. But what the Bible seems to suggest is that of his fullness, we have received one grace upon another, which basically means that whatever we give, we've already been given. So God gives us first. Then we share from what he's given us, and then he gives us even more. One grace upon another grace, but it begins with the idea that of his fullness we have received. So he says, look, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to give you the heart to give. I'm going to give you a desire to share. I'm going to give you the substance with which to make those desires come to pass. And then I'm going to watch you. Now, listen, when he says watching you, he's not talking about, you know, standing on the sidelines and letting us do things in our own strength. But he's saying, I've given you the love. I've given you the compassion. I've given you the substance. I've given you what you need. Now it's up to you to put it to market rather than hiding it in a napkin and putting it under the ground. So he's saying to us, when I give you, it's because I want you to give others, but you can't give anything that you have not received. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, that portion of scripture that we read all the time when we do communion. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. So he says, I received from the Lord, and then I delivered it unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And what it literally says is, this is my body, which is for you. So he says, I've received this from the Lord. I've received this heart of giving from the Lord. I received it from the Lord, and as a result, I was able to share it. So with us, if we don't receive the gift of giving from the Lord, we're not going to be able to give anybody anything. But if we receive the gift of giving from the Lord, then we give, and what does the Lord do? He gives us more. Why? So that we can give more. And he's not just, we're not just talking about he gives us more finances. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. But what he does is he gives us a bigger heart. He gives us more desire to serve. And so what we can do financially, we do financially. We pay the tenth so that we can maintain the facilities and take care of business. And we give the offering so that we can make sure that we help as many people as we possibly can so that they can come to places like this and they can learn the true gospel and they can find life in Jesus and they can live in a godly community and they can enjoy godly discipleship and fellowship and friendship. But we do everything that we do because God does something in here. Amen. He changes who we are. And the more we give, the more we go, the more we send, the more we pray, the more we reach out, the bigger our hearts get. The bigger our capacity to care gets. The more we can see, the broader our scope. Before you know it, we see things from God's perspective, and no matter how difficult the circumstance, something in us says, I can do something about it. Because I received it from the Lord, the same Lord who said, this is me for you. Basically taking the bread and ripping it asunder, basically saying, this is what I'm willing to suffer if it means helping somebody. Now, that doesn't come naturally to us, but it does come supernaturally. The same Jesus who did that does that in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. And before you know it, we're giving of things that we didn't even know we had. We're putting things out there that we didn't even realize had been invested in us. I found that the more that you and I are willing to give, the more we can bear witness to what the Lord has given us. And there are many people, not many here, but thank God, but there are many people who sometimes question whether God has invested anything in them. And the reason why they question it is because they've never taken it to market. They've never put it out there. And so the devil lies to them every day and says that there is nothing there. Well, the minute they decide that they want to start to give and they want to start to put it out there, they want to start to put it to market, they want to dig it up, from wherever they have it hidden, and they want to show what the Lord has done in their life. All of a sudden, you know the story of the talents. They put it out there to market, and what did the Lord do? Well, he came and blessed them with that much more. You've been faithful over small things. I will make you, as it were, a ruler over many. So all of a sudden, we begin to see that there is something of significant substance in this idea of the gift of giving. The gift of God's joyful heart. True giving comes from a heart that rejoices in the prospect of helping. When our heart rejoices in the prospect of helping. Now, that usually comes as a result of having developed a habit of giving. Because at first, when we give, we almost wonder, well, what can my little bit do? But before you know it, as we've seen the hand of the Lord over and over again, now we're like that little child with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And even though we see 10,000 people in front of us, we put what we have in the hands of the Lord. And we have a childlike faith that says somehow or another, these 5 loaves and 2 fish are going to feed everybody. And there will be plenty left over. And there comes a time when you and I begin to rejoice in the fact that we can actually help somebody. And we give with joy because we realize that it's actually going to help somebody. That we are actually changing the world. We're actually giving on a level that far transcends what we see in our hand. God is able to take your tenth and he's able to multiply it tenfold and a thousandfold. And you say, look, I'm giving what I can. I'm giving what I believe is right. I'm giving what I believe is biblical. But you and I never know what God is going to do with it. My goodness, he can take what we give and he can multiply it and feed thousands upon thousands. He can feed tens of thousands with what you think might just buy, you know, a couple of groceries. Because that's the miraculous Savior. That's the God of the Bible. So we give cheerfully because we believe that God is going to do something supernatural with it, that he's going to do something awesome with it. Paul says to the Corinthians, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then listen to what he says here. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of every good work. It's not like this guy is being a little bit repetitive, right? I mean, over and over again, he's saying all things, all things, all things, everything. When you give to God, you will be abundant in every way, in all things. You will lack nothing. When you give to God's house, when you reach out to the poor, when you allow God to do the supernatural in your life, when you allow him to cause your heart to share from the depths of who you are, when you allow him to change you, transform you, make you a different person, when we allow God to take what he's invested in us and prove that he has done exactly what he said he would do, that he would make us a different people, that what we have is a new birth, that we are sons and daughters of the second Adam, the last Adam, that we are the new creation, that we are not what we used to be. If he says, let me make you see that, And let me show it to you as you reach out. Let me show it to you as you go forward. Let me show it to you as you share, as you give, as you trust. Let me show you what I've done in you. Then you and I can rejoice in the fact that everything that God said we are, we are. Notice again this sentence. I just love it. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, might have an abundance of every good work, or for every good work. In other words, what Paul is saying here is, you can quote me on this. What Paul is saying here is, either this is absolutely true, or you have absolutely no reason to believe any word of it. He hits it again and again and again. He does not equivocate. He says it plainly. He says it clearly. If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But if you sow abundantly, you will have abundance. You will have everything that you need. And he didn't say for a big house or for a big car. He says for every good work. You will have everything that you need to give even more. You will have everything that you need, abundance, to bless even more people, to strengthen even more people, to make sure the gospel reaches even more people. You will find that the investment of God in your life begins to flow even more freely, and you touch even more lives, and even more people get to go to heaven because you have chosen to allow God to cause you to cheerfully give of all that he's given you. And again and again and again, you will find God replenishing. You will find God refilling. You will find God rebaptizing. You will find God re-energizing. You will find God rejuvenating. You will find God giving you everything that you need to do every good work. That's what this text says. No equivocation, no double talk. Everything that you need to do every good work. Every good work. The gift of God's faithful heart. Giving requires trust in God, trust in human leadership, and trust in one's own sense of responsibility, or one's own sense of call. One sentence that I used to overlook again and again when I read about Elijah and the widow woman who sustained him, even though it meant putting herself in danger and her son, at least that's what she thought. My thought was, wow, this must have been a woman of significant faith, because a man just came out of nowhere and said to her, you know, give me something to eat. She only had one plate of food left. Her son and she were going to die. She knew it. But she fed him anyway. And I thought to myself, why? Again, is this not inherent in us? Was there something about this man that just drew it out of her? But then I read this passage here. Arise, the Lord is speaking to Elijah now. Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow woman there to provide for you. God told her, long before she met Elijah, there was something in her heart that said give. Something in her heart that said share. Something in her heart that said somebody's going to come to you. And they're going to have a need. And the need is going to seem too great. The need is going to seem exorbitant. It's going to seem extravagant. But this is what I have called you to do. Now, you know the rest of the story. The Lord blessed her abundantly. The Lord blessed her entirely. Everything that she needed was at her disposal. She lived, and her son lived, and Elijah lived. and you know how his story went. Every now and again, you and I have got to say, look, I know what God has said to me. I trust God, and I trust my sense of responsibility. I trust that I heard him. And I trust this man, Elijah. I don't know how many people had come to her prior to that. I don't know how many people might have tried to use or abuse her in her situation. I don't know. But we live in a society where many people have done a lot of very unscrupulous things in the name of the almighty dollar, as they call it. But there comes a time when you have to allow your discernment to say whether or not you can trust a community of leaders. You have simply got to say, I either trust this community or I don't. I've either heard from the Lord or I haven't. And I think this church has proven itself again and again and again. Nobody's getting rich here. But we're feeding thousands and thousands and thousands of people. Hallelujah. 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 And many children who had to do a lot of bad things, a lot of hurtful things, a lot of sad things, a lot of unthinkable things just to eat a meal. Now they eat warm food. They hear the gospel of Jesus. They have warm beds to sleep in. They have warm clothes. Not just abroad, but even here in New York. Thousands and thousands of people being taken care of. You know my story. I used to live in the street. This church took me in 25 years ago. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So I'm a recipient of your mercy, a recipient of your kindness, a recipient of your giving heart. And my heart is to give and 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 give. Amen. Until the Lord calls me home. And finally, the gift of God's sacrificial heart. Giving is defined by sacrifice, not convenience. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, she put everything in, all that she had to live on. It's a pretty powerful statement. In some translations, it says that Jesus watched how they gave and not so much what they gave. Obviously, he was watching what they gave as well, but how they gave. This woman gave sacrificially. How? Because the heart of God was working in her. When you and I allow the Lord to invest himself in our hearts, then we begin to invest in the salvation of this society. We begin to invest in making certain that people get a chance to know what we know. We begin to invest in making sure that we take care of our own, so that when people are hungry or they're hurting, they know that they can come and say, hey, you know, you understand that some people are just work the system. We're not talking about that. But there are people who say, look, I'm here, but I'm going through a difficult time. Well, you know, we have ministries to help people, both part of the community and people that are lost. We want to do everything we can brothers and sisters. This is our generation. The baton is in our hand. And that's my side. Amen. But we want to do everything we can to help as many people as we can. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. If God is speaking to you, and I know I'm preaching to the choir because this church has been so faithful, but if God is speaking to you and you're just saying, Lord, just broaden my horizons, broaden my heart, broaden my scope, help me to help even more. I just want to make a difference. We have the baton in our hand just for a little while. Then we pass it on to the next generation as every generation has done. But we can do something in this society. We might look at some of the things that are going on, or we read some of the things that are going on, and we might think, what good is my 5 loaves and 2 fish? What good is my 2 mites? But you know, God can multiply them. And we can make a difference in the society. If God is speaking to you and you're simply saying, Lord, broaden my heart. Help me to see even more than I've seen. Help me to share your burden and embrace it even more tenderly. And help me to share. If God is speaking to you, come to the front of this auditorium. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to pray and believe God to help us to do what we know to be right. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to his holy name. There is always a very, very practical way to determine where you are spiritually, because some of this can sometimes seem esoteric. So you can always check to see where you are with regard to giving, or whether or not you practically give. Whether you give a tithe, a tenth of your income, usually after taxes, and whether or not you give above that an offering. If you're doing those things, then these things that might seem a little bit more esoteric, they become a lot more concrete. So do the things that are practical, the things that you know, and then the Lord will help you with everything else. It's not a hard thing, and God will bless you. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we thank you. But we thank you. We thank you above everything. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. And we thank you, Lord, for our pastor. We thank you for a man who is truly a servant, truly a man of integrity, truly trustworthy. Lord, one who concerns himself with being a good steward. Lord, thank you that you've used this church to help so many people. And we're simply asking you to broaden us even farther. Lord, broaden our scope, broaden our impact. Help us to help even more people. Help us to make even more of a difference. Lord, we simply lay ourselves at your feet and say, broaden us so that your name might be glorified in the earth. That when we pass the baton to the youngsters who are running around our church right now, who are in the children's ministry and other places, Lord, they will have had a great example. We thank you for this, oh Jesus, and we bless you for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.